You know, brethren, with this Sabbath day that we are gathering together and worshiping on, we're concluding this country's observation of the Thanksgiving week. Not only in this week, though, do God's people express thanksgiving, but numerous times through every day, 365 days a year, we give thanks. You know, brethren, it's just what we do. We are the most blessed people on the earth in all of time. I believe it would be quite impossible to list all the blessings that we have received in our lives. This is true in modern-day Israel, and it's especially true for the United States of America. Once again, we are a people most blessed. I'd like you to go to Psalm 139 in your Bible right quick. I love this psalm deeply. If it's not my favorite, it is one of my favorites. But I'd like you to consider one of the observations from the psalmist about the thoughts of God in his holy scriptures about one of his children. Psalm 139. We're going to be reading verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. David's speaking about himself. But we also should realize that this observed blessing is quite applicable to any true child of God. No matter the time period, no matter throughout the history of humanity, humans are humans. That's why the Bible is such a special, magnificent book. It attributes to humanity throughout humanity's existence. You know, a person's awareness of their blessings is just not unique in the Church of God. There are many appreciative people that explain, as well as exclaim, how good their lives are. It brings to mind a comment that was made to me one time from a lady that I served in the capacity as a home health care physical therapist. This lady was terribly ill, and she was terribly crippled from numerous medical challenges in her life. And her attitude was most remarkable. It was precious to witness. She looked at me one day and said, "Ralph, my cup runs over, and I'm sipping from the saucer." And when she said that, it just kind of hit me, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It was the final visit I had with her. I smiled and recalled one of the greatest people in my life when I thought about what she said. Because my grandma, she used to take her coffee, and she'd kind of spill it into her saucer. And she'd sip it. Well, it was not only because her cup was full, but that's the way she cooled off her coffee. So I thought it was precious. My grandma, my life is full of the blessings that I had in my life because of my grandma. She was an incredibly generous, special person. I'd like you to go to James 1. Coming all the way over towards the back of the Bible. Got a pretty good idea that y'all know where I'm going with this. James 1, reading in verse 16 and 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You know, brethren, God is steadfast. He's steadfast in His character, His generosity, and His hospitality. This is what God does. He's in the business of blessing, if I can put it that way. He takes great pleasure in it in the past, great pleasure in giving now, and great pleasure in the future of what is towards us. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 12:31, Jesus Christ makes a beautiful, beautiful statement. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Kind of referencing some of the points that Mr. Mariah made. God desires deeply to give us His kingdom. I believe that one of the most pleasant of attributes that glorifies our most generous God is the gratitude that His children express throughout every day. Every day. Numerous times a day. This is a gratitude that is constant attitude. The attitude of gratitude. It's within the mind and the heart of the person that He and His Son are personally working with. Most assuredly, thousands of messages can be presented addressing the gifts and blessings from God. Thousands, I'm sure. But I'd like you to never forget that beautiful phrase that David made in his Psalm 139, where he remarked, "God's thoughts are more in number than the sand." That's a lot of thoughts. Can you number the sand? I suppose for the simple fact that the earth is enclosed and it's within an environment and that sand's not drifting up into outer space, it's not an infinite number. But it's a lot of good thoughts that God has towards us. Brethren, the purpose of this message today is to address one of the greatest blessings that we in the Church of God must appreciate and rejoice constantly over. I'd like you to go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 in verse 31. "The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness." That is from the New King James Version. The Old King James says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Title of my message today is "Honor the Hoary Head." This scripture, Proverbs 16, is quite descriptive of the gift of the elderly to the house of God. These folks are a gift. I'd like us to break up this one scripture into four unique parts. First part, the silver-haired head. The second part is a crown of glory. The third part, if it is found. And the fourth part, in the way of righteousness. Brethren, one of the most important things that we must never forget that is within this precious book is found over in 2 Timothy 3. Let's go ahead and go there. It's always good to review this scripture, to never forget it. 'Cause with all due respect, you know, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we have to look at this scripture and never forget it. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14. This was a beautiful letter written from Paul to Timothy, young elder in the church. Kind of jumping into the middle of a thought here, because Paul is warning Timothy about numerous things in his eldership. Verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This Bible, what a gift. It reveals to us something very, very special about our respect and our honor towards the elderly. We're to live by every word of God, and this very short scripture in Proverbs identifies the elderly that are found in the way of righteousness. It carries within it an encyclopedia amount of benefit to each and every one of us, young and old alike. So let's go ahead and go into these 4 points and just elaborate on them a little bit in expansion of understanding and awareness. The silver head. This identifies a person of age. This person has been around for a while. For many, this is a natural sign of aging that assists us to recognize something very valuable in this person. I kind of smile because this is directly in contrast to the world. Everywhere you look, you see men and women alike trying to hide their gray hairs. Years ago, I used to have a mustache. I wore that mustache for over 15 years. And every time I saw my mom, I still had dark hair, but my mustache was turning gray. And she'd go up and she'd go, "Honey, don't you want to put a little Grecian formula on that?" I'd say, "Mom, you got to honor that lip." No, I wasn't that silly. But I finally got rid of it because, I mean, it did look funny. I mean, I had a white caterpillar on my lip, and the rest of my head was, well, dark. But, you know, I love, you know, when you look through the Bible, this word, hoary head, I think all of y'all are familiar with what they call hoarfrost. If you've ever seen, you know, the high humidity during the winter, and all of a sudden it freezes, and you can go out in the country and you'll see everything covered with frost. That's what they call hoarfrost. It's white frost. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And so much for the silver head. It's beautiful. I like it to be called silver rather than gray or rather than white. Silver, it reflects value. It reflects value. Let's go to Psalm 12. Twelfth chapter of Psalms. God inspired David to write so much. Psalm 12, verse 6 through 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord, you shall preserve them from this generation forever. The words of the Lord, purified 7 times. There's a beautiful expression in Proverbs. You can just keep this in your notes. Proverbs 25, verse 11. It says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." Something beautifully, beautifully valuable. A righteous elderly person is one that speaks appropriately and with value in their conversations. Of course, these are during moments of counsel when someone comes to them and is seeking their advice. They will be a most valuable source of wisdom because of their experiences in life. My dad once commented to me during a visit that I had with him, and I sought his advice about an important matter in my life. And he looked at me and he said, "Son, it's not so much that I'm so smart. It's just that I've been up and down the pike a few times." That was his way of expressing his experiences. Been there and done that. Got the T-shirt, so they say. I appreciated his advice. His unique experiences assisted in learning what not to do, as well as learning what to do, and then to pass that wisdom on to anybody that asked. I would strongly recommend to all of us in the house of God, especially the children and the young adults, not to fear to seek out these very valuable older brothers and sisters in Christ for their guidance in life. They have lived many years and have been through the process of multiple purifications. Multiple purifications that can be found within their trials. And they have endured admirably. The second point in this scripture of Proverbs is a crown of glory. The silver head is a crown of glory. Brethren, these are the exact words of God. Characterizes this silver head as a crown of glory. It's observed now in this person's life. It's not a gift or reward that they are waiting on. They have received the identity from God now in respect to their character. I'd like you to go to Proverbs 4. Fourth chapter of Proverbs. Start reading in verse 1. Proverbs 4, verse 1. "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." This beautiful, beautiful explanation by God about the blessings of God's Word and truth, bringing about wisdom to you, blessing you with a crown of glory that we've already been speaking about. Glory's definition, the definition of glory, God's moral beauty and perfection of character. One of the scriptures in Matthew tells us that we are to seek to become perfect as God is perfect. We don't acquire that right when we're baptized, right when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a process of life. We continue with it. Life, day after day after day. seeking to become perfect of God. Third point in this proverb, if it be found. This simple phrase within this proverb identifies two very important stipulations. The silver-haired person that is to be identified with a crown of glory must be found. They must be sought out. The second point, they must be located in a very unique place. To be found. Very, very valuable. Let's go to Matthew 13. 13th chapter of Matthew. Jesus Christ expressing some parables here about the kingdom of God, but he elaborates on this, and I'm using these scriptures in reference to the fact that somebody is seeking something valuable. Matthew 13, verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is just reflection on the fact that this merchant man, he was seeking something profoundly valuable, and then when he found it, he recognized it was so valuable that it was worth everything that he owned. That's how we should look at the elderly in God's church, those who are found in righteousness. It's a zeal for value that I would like to impress once again upon our youth to take full advantage of. These members of God's church are one of the greatest assets that we have at our disposal. They come down. They're a precious gift from God. They haven't come from heaven. They have been here, called by God, worked with over many, many years to develop His holy, righteous character. Luke 15. This is another parable by Christ. And it's not the point that I'm trying to take these out of context. The point that I'm trying with these scriptures, these two parables, the simple fact is that somebody recognized something of value and they went to a lot of effort to acquire it and understand it. Luke 15. Notice in verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost." They had a zeal and a devotion to go after something profoundly valuable. You know, years ago, I had the privilege of discussing with a young man. He was involved in a very serious task that he had chosen to engage in. And he was going to all the elderly in the congregation. This young man was in love. And he was very interested in a future of a young lady in that congregation. He wanted to marry her. And he took the time to go to all of the married couples, profoundly though, the elderly in that congregation. He either took them out to dinner or he joined them at their home. And he sat down for hours and talked to them about their courtship, and about their marriages, and why they had been married for 40 years, for 50 years, 60 years. And he had a full notebook of notes that he took on this endeavor. And I was priceless privileged for him to share that with me. And I just thought that showed it a profound amount of wisdom by this young man. He was seeking a pearl of great price. within the context of marriage. Very, very wise. Very wise. Let's look at the fourth point in this proverb. And brethren, this is the greatest point that is within this proverb. It's been broken up into four points, but this is the greatest one. In the way of righteousness. The silver-haired person must be found in the way of righteousness in order for their crown to be valid. This is an identity that comes directly from the throne of God. Not every person that has the silver hair is a wise person to be trusted with your questions about life. Over the past 50 years, y'all know this, I'm a baby boomer. And TV has just exploded in the past, 75 years for sure. And so much you see on TV, so much you hear on the radio. There are a lot of people on there that claim to be a person that you can trust them. They have white hair. I think you can kind of maybe go back in your own time and look at TV and think about some of these people that were very, very popular. I can think of two people right now that changed the history of the United States of America. One of these men was proclaimed to be the most trusted man in America. And he openly expressed something one day that changed the United States of America in one night. Another person came on a little bit later, had his own talk show on radio as well as TV. And you know, they received their credentials from their peers. They were either self-glorified or they were promoted by the world to be identified that they could be trusted. Much of their advice flew in the face of righteousness. They openly promoted the wrong way of life. It was a way that was abhorred of by God. One of the most deceptive things that they would do is that they would be involved in certain activities in the forefront of the United States. They would be opening up hospitals. They'd be given millions of dollars to the poor and to the needy. And they'd make sure the cameras were on them to show how wonderful and incredible and they are. But as soon as they started talking on their programs, you could see that they were profoundly, profoundly liberal. You know, brethren, God defines righteousness. Let's go to Psalm 119. The 119th chapter of Psalm. There is so much said in this psalm about God's law, God's word, God's truth. Psalm 119, and look at verse 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. You know, when Jesus Christ, just before he was arrested, the most beautiful prayer that you'll find in the Bible is in John 17. The whole chapter is devoted to this prayer. Jesus Christ was talking about the children of God that was going to be called by God and worked with by God. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And here in verse 142 of Psalm 119, it says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. Everlasting. It has not been done away. Staying within Psalm 119, go over here to verse 172. Psalm 119, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. God identifies and defines righteousness. Just in the book of Psalms, the New King James Version reveals 73 scriptures directly addressing God's righteousness and the importance that it is in the life of the person he is directly working with. The man and the woman with the silver hair possessing as a crown of glory when it is found in righteousness. What a beautiful gift. I'd like you to go to Leviticus 18. The book of Leviticus carries within it many, many statutes and judgments, some of them very, very explicit, very, very detailed. Leviticus 18, starting in verse 1, we're going to read through verse 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments, keep my ordinances, to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. And throughout the book of Leviticus, you'll see that repeated. I am the Lord your God. He will repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. This reveals authority. This is the person speaking to Moses that ultimately became Jesus Christ. Authority. Now I'd like you to go to Leviticus 19. And read verse 32. Leviticus 19, verse 32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. I find this profound that the Lord at that time and continues to this day in deeply, deeply appreciating the valuable gift that dwells within God's house. It's the very high responsibility of all of us to respect the gift that these people are. God places His name in reference to this highest of authority to His command. We must appreciate this gift from God because as all of God's gifts, they are to our ultimate benefit. The conversion of these precious people within righteousness is revealed in their conviction to God's truth and way of life. It carries with it a commitment that is proven by time. And the courage to hold fast to that which is good and not allow any person to take their crown. No matter the obstacle or the trial, they are trustworthy. They are loyal. They are genuine. What's incredibly amazing and wonderful about this is we see in our own midst right here in this congregation and many others that we know distributed about the earth as God has so willed it, is that these people resemble the head of God's church. I'd like you to go to Revelation 1. as we draw to a close, Revelation 1, starting in verse 10. Of course, John is writing here. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, unto Thyatira, to Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and into Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Brethren, I'd like you to deeply appreciate those that are in our congregation, in all of God's house, that are with the hoary head. It's a direct expression of appreciation for the Lord our God. These folks are a precious gift to us. They are a precious gift in the wisdom that is given in the form of the elderly, who dwell in the house of righteousness. Praise God for His precious gifts that He has given to His house. Take advantage of these wonderful people. Have a great Sabbath.